This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Stain Remover. Stain Remover, the best friend you never knew you needed. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is about Cinderella by Charles Perrault. Today, I'm going to talk about the most famous Cinderella story of all time. But before we get started, co-host Chloe wanted to share some exciting news for you.
Way back in episode 2, What is a Cinderella Story?, we talked about how anyone can write a Cinderella story. And then me and my mom did. Way back when my mom was a kid, she wrote a Cinderella story for a writing contest sponsored by Knott's Fairy Farm in California. She won. And actors put on a play based on her story, which was about a cowgirl named Cindy who goes to a hoedown. Thanks to her fairy godmother, who gives her a pretty yellow gown and some magical cowgirl boots. We discovered the story inside a box of childhood memories, and I decided that maybe we could turn it into a story. We know that listeners have enjoyed the free audio version of the story that you can find at childrensliteraturepodcast.com. And now we've published it as a book that you can read at home. You can find Cindy Feller, an Old West Fairy Tale, at amazon.com.
Thanks, Chloe. We'll put links so that you can buy your own copy of Cindy Feller, an Old West Fairy Tale, on our website at childrensliteraturepodcast.com.
And we're making a new story.
Oh, no spoilers yet. I love Cinderella stories, but I haven't yet covered the most famous one, the version written by Charles Perrault, first published in 1697 under the title Cendrillon ou le petit pantoufle de verre, which translates to Cinderella or the Little Glass Slipper. This story was part of a collection called Histoires ou contes de temps passé avec des moralités ou contes de ma mère Louis. That rather wordy title translates to Stories or Tales from Past Times with Morals, or Mother Goose Tales. This is the Cinderella story that has had the most impact on popular culture, and the one that most film, TV, stage, and storybook versions are based on. The reason for that is that it was the first one to be widely published. Even more importantly, it was the first one to be widely published in English. Perrault's tales were translated by Robert Samber and published in 1729 in the English language, exactly at a time when printed books were beginning to both be in high demand and when they were somewhat affordable. For this reason, Perrault's tales became the standard version known to most English speakers today. This is the story with the pumpkin and the glass slipper and the mice and the lizards who are transformed into attendants. This is also the version where Cinderella impresses everyone not just with her beauty, but her graciousness, manners, and intelligence, and she forgives her horrible family in the end. Perrault's tale drew most directly on Cenerentola, the Italian tale written by Giambattista Basile, which I talked about back in episode 55. As in Basile's version of the tale, Perrault's story contrasts two kinds of women, those who build one another up, and those who tear each other down. In these stories, Cinderella is looked after by women who help her because they can, and she's tormented by her stepmother and stepsisters who hurt her because they can. Cinderella stories deal with the fact that women have to decide whether to see one another as competition or allies, and I'm happy to say that every time, women who choose to be cruel to a Cinderella character out of jealousy, insecurity, or plain old malice are always portrayed as the baddies. Cinderella endures her lot in life with patience and overcomes her troubles with hard work and a helping hand from a woman in a position of power. Perrault changed up a few things, though. In Cenerentola, the Cinderella character is called Zezzola. She is displaced by 7 stepsisters, and her dad pretty openly goes along with the way they abuse her. In the end, A magical shoe identifies Zetzola as the perfect bride for a handsome prince, flying through the air and fastening itself to her foot after refusing to fit onto any other woman. In Perrault's version, the father's complicity is a bit more unclear, although it would be hard for him not to notice that his daughter was wearing rags and sleeping in the kitchen. The French version also has more whimsical elements. In the Italian story, a fairy living inside a tree, an image that harkens back to the dryads of classical legend, assists Zetzola. In the French retelling, Cendrillon has a kindly fairy godmother with a magic wand who transforms a rat, lizards, and mice into a coachman, footman, and horses. The story also gets a major modernization by making use of a pumpkin, which transforms into Cendrillon's coach. Pumpkins were still a very exotic vegetable in 17th century France. Today, squash of all kinds are common all over the world, but they originally come from North America, and no European had seen one until about 400 years ago. Pumpkins would have still seemed like a fascinating symbol of far-off lands when Perrault wrote his tale, although I'm sure there were a few old folks who shook their heads and said they hate it when remakes of old stories change things to appeal to modern audiences. Joking aside, Perrault's version is in many ways quite modern. Cendrillon emphasizes Cinderella's character as much as her beauty. This reflects both the values of the European Renaissance, which was just ending during Perrault's life, as well as the Enlightenment, which was just beginning as he started his publishing career. If Perrault had been a medieval author, he would have mentioned that Cinderella was pretty and left it at that. But because he was a well-educated, high-ranking Frenchman living in the late 17th century, he would have valued beauty in all its forms, including intellectual beauty and the attractiveness of gracious manners. When you look at Charles Perrault's resume, you can see why it was so important to him to place Enlightenment values in his stories. He was not just a published author, but a co-founder of the French Academy of Sciences. He was secretary of the French Academy of Inscription and Belles Lettres, a member of the Académie Française, and one of the restorers of the Academy of Painting. King Louis XIV came to him for gardening advice. Perrault advised the king to add 39 water fountains to the grounds at Versailles, each one bearing sculptures representing a different one of Aesop's fables. Someone like Perrault would have seen beauty as admirable in a person, but hollow without being accompanied by more substantial traits like intelligence, graciousness, and good conversational ability. This is why the author was so disdainful in his descriptions of the shallow and selfish stepsisters. Although all of his stories are generally secular in their content, they emphasize the importance of good character and often end with a specific moral. That's what makes them so modern. Before Perrault, European folktales didn't always have a neat structure. They left some plot points unresolved, and characters didn't really have specific personalities. Medieval stories from Europe also tended to be overtly religious, because back then the idea of separation between secular and religious life just didn't exist. Also, very few people outside medieval religious communities could read or write. By Perrault's time, many lay people were literate and writing their own stories, and this is reflected in the more secular tone of their work. The part of Cendrillon that shows it to be a work of the Enlightenment is the way the stepsisters are forgiven. When Cinderella was powerless, the sisters were abusive. As soon as they realize that their former slave is about to become a princess, then they're sorry. A medieval response would have been for the abusive relatives to be killed, or at least punished. In Ye Xian, a Chinese Cinderella tale from more than 1,000 years ago, the evil stepmother and stepsister are killed after they quarrel so violently that their house collapses on them. In Aschenputtel, a German story collected by the Brothers Grimm, the sisters have their eyes pecked out by birds delivering divine punishment. In Cenerentola, the Cinderella figure has a more neutral reaction, simply leaving behind her horrible family as she goes on to a better life. But in Perrault's tale, Cendrillon forgives the horrible stepsisters. And her feelings appear to be sincere because she even arranges good marriages for them. She's that nice. Cendrillon is an ideal picture of Enlightenment morality, and it can seem almost too good to be believed by readers today. When reading this story, you can ask your kids what they think of Cendrillon's behavior. Was she right to forgive her stepsisters so completely? Did she marry them off to noblemen out of kindness, or was it a strategic move? As the new princess, does her act of forgiveness make her appear weak or strong to the people of the land? As you listeners know, Cinderella stories are some of my favorites because they're universal. They're found all over the world and all through time, telling the stories of young women, and even sometimes young men, who have been dealt an unfair hand in life. But by developing their intelligence, skills, and good character, Cinderella characters find a way into the life they deserve. And that's a path we all hope to walk. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.
Testing, testing, testing.